Sunday. Well, they come in. John, here is a big German writer. For 7 years, the complete treatise on the Holy Spirit. How far the theologians ended his life with history of the Holy Spirit still ending. From the time the theologians said, Lord, how far the last word of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the last word of the Holy Spirit. So people spend a lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit. I hope you haven't let it go over the top. In terms of the third person, look for many to be willing to believe in the Father and of the Son. And in one sentence, to believe says, I believe in the Holy Ghost. Now, I've already mentioned the Holy Ghost in passing. Because when we're thinking about our levels of birth, conception, about being led or seen by the Holy Ghost. But that one, and this one phrase, in a sense, serve to emphasize something which perhaps we all feel, that we are entering a very mysterious world. There is something mysterious and unmaskable and unpredictable about the Holy Ghost. And our understanding of the Holy Ghost is perhaps vain, shallow. Every now and then, you think that they are the Holy Spirit, but we're not too sure what position. And yet, it's been one of the emphases this century in the Church that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work within the Church has been brought much further into the focus of people's attention. In the beginning of the century, the growth of the Pentecostal Church. Through the second half of the century, the growth of charismatic churches, whether they've been Church of Scotland, charismatic congregations, whether they've been growth of Catholic charismatic churches, or independent charismatic churches, like for instance the Gate Fellowship down the Kirk Road, whether they've been Church of England, charismatic churches, and the present Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. John Kelly, one who has a great deal of sympathy with the charismatic renewal, as it is called, within the Church of England. So the Holy Spirit, if anyone from the Church is attending, is no less serious and shadowy. What do we believe? What can we say about the Holy Spirit? How do we know what we can say about the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Or what do we think about it? After the violence. There are two particular emphases within the Bible on the teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we go through the dream, we have a lot about Jesus. We have a bit about the Father at the beginning. We have a lot about Jesus. Very much about the Holy Spirit. So we have to turn straight to the Bible. We have to ask, what does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? Let's say there are two particular emphases. The first emphasis is, might say, on power. The second one, I don't know what to be, is on presence. Now, I have to say that the one emphasis is on power. In the sense of foundation, fundamental biblical emphasis is on presence. And we'll look at what's meant by this phrase, by this phrase. One of the most frequent words in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit is the Greek word, pneuma. We get our word pneumatic from the pneumatic drill or pneumatic time or whatever. It refers to breath. It also refers to wind, and this huge surging wind from the trees in Brussels, which drives so much of our planet's planets. And that's translated in the Old Testament in the Hebrew word for the Spirit, which is the word Ruach.
or powerful, mighty Russian strength. The serious power, and that's in a sense of power of that kind of language. Now we see that work out in the Bible in particular ways in the New Testament in particular. First is that there is absolutely no difference between the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. How did Jesus do what he did? Where did Jesus' power come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. Not only was Jesus born because of the Holy Spirit's power. Remember back to our Christmas readings and the story of the Annunciation, what Daniel did, they'll say to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High, and will overshadow you. Not only was Jesus conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, but he was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember when he came on Mount of Baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the shape of a dove's feet. Jesus was anointed from that point on by the Holy Spirit with particular power and the ability to do what he was going to have to do. His ministry was in the power of the Holy Spirit. And his death and his descent into hell and his resurrection were also in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus enabled that by the Spirit to go through the agony of the cross. And we read in Peter's letter that it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead and descended into hell. One of the references in the New Testament, Jesus descending into hell, links that to the Holy Spirit. Did it in the power of the Spirit? His birth, his anointing for his ministry, the carrying out of that ministry, his death, his descent into hell, and his resurrection, all in the power of the Holy Spirit. All with the ability that the Holy Spirit gave Jesus. And then when we turn to the disciples, the way that they were absolutely transformed after Jesus' resurrection, we see also that same power being demonstrated. Jesus promising the Holy Spirit, saying, "Lord, you will be full with power from on high." And then there's a promise again at the beginning of Acts, in Acts 1:8, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, promise in Acts 4, verse 34. And that power that came upon the disciples when the Holy Spirit descended upon them on the day of Pentecost was a power that they might do the same kind of things that Jesus had been doing. And so we find the disciples even performing miracles. Peter healing a man who was laying from the dead. Peter raising the office. And Paul, upon whom the Spirit came, when he became a Christian, also doing miracles. He gave his back to life after being fallen asleep when Paul was vision, which is what he called out of the window. But it's not just the past two miracles that the disciples received when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was the power to do the same kind of thing that Jesus had been doing to preach and to teach. So we find references all the way through the New Testament, particularly in Paul's letters, to the preaching, to the ministry that is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we find also the disciples, the apostles, and the early church. Not only receive the power of miracles, not only receive the power and the ability to preach and teach the gospel, but also receive the power just to continue in this thing, just to keep going when temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil will be against them, to not come out of their position, to not come out of the sand. What enables them to stay there, what enables them to persevere, to keep going to the end. Not necessarily the power to do without to be ordinary things.
the ability, strength, courage to go on? Do we need the strength of the faith to start?
Somewhere else. Because the Holy Spirit who made Christ present.
almost whenever we read the word with in the Old Testament, the Lord is with you, I will be with you. And when we read it in the New Testament too, for instance, in that phrase, I will be with you, even in the church, I will never be with you, I will never be with you. We are reading about the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who makes Christ present.
Thank you.
have helped me that by the Holy Spirit beyond words, to give one heart and words to say. The Holy Spirit takes that wrong, that yearning, and that will translate it to heavenly language. The Holy Spirit, I want to pray, can inspire us about that.
Thank you.